Well done. Good morning, everyone. Shall we pray? Fantastic presence of God in you this morning. Wonderful visitation of the Holy Spirit. Let's keep receiving. Get in receiving mode. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. We worship you. Thank you for your awesome love. We receive you, Lord, and we ask you to speak to us. Now we ask you to touch our hearts and speak to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're our teacher, you're our personal coach, you're our friend, you're our advocate. In the name of Jesus, we welcome you. Thank you that you love the church, you grow the church, you bless the church, you set captives free. You know every need in every heart this morning, Lord, and thank you that you yourself, you're the answer for every need in every heart. Amen. Amen. Let me read you a scripture. Sorry, Lord, I forgot my glasses. Will you bring them over? Somewhere over there. Sorry, I do this every week now, don't I? Shall I tell you a joke while she's coming? No, I haven't got one, sorry. Yeah, take your time, love, no problem. No one's got anything else to do. Oh, thank you. Get a drink as well. Thank you. Ah, well done, Margaret. There you are. See, you wore that skirt for a reason. Let me read you some fantastic promise. This promise is for you this morning, for you to receive it and appropriate it and experience it. Ho! Oh, it's a good way to start scripture. Isaiah 55. Ho! Oh, come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of food. Give ear to me, come to me, hear me, and your soul will live. What an awesome promise to be able to come to God and get everything we need to satisfy us is a fantastic thing. We can only do that, of course, because Jesus has already purchased everything you'll ever need through his death and resurrection, through his perfect life given to us. Isaiah is one of the major prophets, major because he wrote so much and his disciples recorded so much, but major as well because of his deep revelation of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is one of the major prophets, and he's the prophet that sees Jesus coming the most clearly. And throughout his time as a prophet, more and more he has these visions and revelations of Jesus, as of the Messiah, of the Anointed One coming to save Israel and then even the world. And he sees him closer and closer in amazing ways. In fact, we sang this morning, didn't we, part of the creed? I believe in the virgin birth. You might be here today and think, well, do I? What's that? The virgin birth was the fact that Mary, the only woman in human history for whom this has ever happened, Mary, a total virgin, gave birth, which is a miracle of God, to Jesus, the Son of God. Isaiah, in his revelations and dreams and words from the Holy Spirit, saw that happening. He saw this great Savior coming to Israel, and he saw a virgin. I mean, it must have been throwing him all over the place. Very brave to say it. Words of faith and vision that seem utterly impossible. But he had vision from God, so he dared say it. He said, behold, a virgin, I think, will conceive and give birth to a son. He's prophesying the reality of Jesus' supernatural birth. Our God is a God of miracles, isn't he? Our God does it his way, which is never man's way. He does it the right way. He works with people who dare to receive these visions and dreams and believe them and pray for them and speak them into existence. That's what he does. Like Kina was sharing in the communion. Do hungry lions eat human beings? Yes, they do. Absolutely. Starving lions eat every bit of meat that comes their way, including human meat. Daniel, I assure you, was only human meat. But he had this going for him. He could live beyond this human level because Daniel was a man who was connected to this God who saves. He received vision and dreams from this God. He had a daily prayer-filled relationship with this God. And because of that, he was enabled to trust him over and over in small things, in large things. And what does that do? Brothers and sisters, what that does for you is takes you into a total different dimension of life. When you're in a relationship with God and you're living by faith in him, things that are impossible become possible. All your restrictions are blown out of the water. What you could normally do under your own steam doesn't count. Everything is possible. Because you're connected to the God who can do anything. So you begin to dare ask him for anything. And you begin to dare to dream and have vision for your life beyond the little box that you are, the money that you have, what your dad said you would be, how you've always done it. Well, I've been a Christian for 20 years now and I've never got free from this. So I guess that's going to be me till I get... You get beyond all that. To living in a supernatural realm where you become increasingly convinced that all things are possible because they are. In this kingdom, the kingdom of God, all things are possible. Isaiah began to prophesy about this great Messiah, this coming one. Increasingly, he was prophesying about him. That he was going to come and he was going to redeem Israel. The prophets, often raised up by God to call the people of God back to him, back away from their idols. Isaiah understood and caught something of the broken heart of God. You know, when we sin, we don't break God's laws. We break his heart because he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And Isaiah would speak to the people of Israel and call them back to the God who loves them and call them back out of away from their useless idols. Idols can't save anyone. They can't do anything for them. Why are they sticking with idols when they've got the opportunity to be in relationship with this miracle-working God? It's amazing, but that's human nature. He called them back and called them back. And as he was calling them back, he'd see visions of Jesus, prophesy the coming of the great Savior. And then he began to see Jesus bigger than Israel. Not just the Savior of Israel, but the Savior of the whole world. And he prophesies and says, as he's looking at Jesus, he says, it's too small a thing for you to bring the people of Israel back to their God. I will do that with you, but I will also make you a light to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. He was seeing Jesus more and more and more as the ultimate Savior of the whole world. And then he gets to Isaiah 53. And again, Isaiah gets a big shock. He sees how this mighty King, this anointed one, this Savior of the world, is going to save the world. He's going to be rejected and despised by his own people and by everyone else. And die a sinner's death. A criminal's death on the cross and shed his blood so that the world could be saved. That was how he was going to do it. And Isaiah begins to see that and he starts to prophesy and starts by saying, who is going to believe this? That's how Isaiah 53 starts. Who has believed our report and who is going to believe this message? He was despised. This anointed one, this great King, the Savior of the world. We're waiting for him. He's coming. He's coming. He's come. He's despised. No one recognizes he's come. As usual, God does it his way. Not man's way. Not the natural way. Not the normal way. The far above supernatural way. The way of faith. Jesus had faith. Jesus trusted his Father and prayed and surrendered his life into the hands of his Father, knowing that if he obeyed him and went his way, he would be raised from the dead. He knew that. And he put his trust in God and went through it all for us. Isaiah was just absolutely blown away by this. Jesus conquered on the cross. He rose from the dead. With that, he'd broken the power of death and opened the floodgates for all the supersonic blessings that me and you enjoy today. Is anyone happy about that? Jesus has opened the floodgates for all the blessings that you can experience this morning in this cinema. He did it 2,000 years ago. It was all paid for then. It's all paid for. Just turn to the person next to you and say, it's all paid for. It's all paid for. It's all paid for. You being free from the anxiety you're suffering right now, paid for. You being physically healed of the pain you're in right now, paid for. You being forgiven of every sin you've ever committed and all the faults and failings you'll make before you meet Jesus, all of it paid for in full through this one awesome Saviour, Jesus Christ. Anyone happy about that? Jesus has paid for everything for you. All you need to do is, ho! Come to the waters. Turn to the person next to you, say, ho! Just to make sure they're listening. That's what ho means. Ho means, it's just an ancient way of saying, yo! Ho! Yo! Which is a modern way of saying, hey! Isn't it? This is a modern way of saying, are you listening? Anyone listening? Are you listening this morning? I hope you're listening to the Holy Spirit, not just me. You're not here to be entertained. You're here to meet God and have a miracle before you leave. That's why you're here. That's what this type of gathering's for. Other gatherings are for other things. This is for power and the word of God coming into you and shaping you and transforming you. So I hope you are listening. That's how Jesus started his sermons. He said, listen. A sower went out to sow. That word listen that Jesus used is the same word he used when he spoke to the storm to silence it. When he stood up on that boat, he said, stillness. And it all became still. He spoke to the storm. Now he speaks to the crowds he's going to teach. Stillness. So important we hear God, isn't it, brothers and sisters? So important you have stillness from all the gaga of the world and all the distractions of Satan. And all the pinings of your flesh. Stillness. Let stillness come over you now. And let your heart open like a flower in the presence of the Holy Spirit to receive the word of God that can change your life. Preaching isn't about information. It's impartation from Almighty God. Preachers are a very little part of the deal. We're just like waiters who serve you. You're eating, he's cooking. We're just bringing it to you. Hors d'oeuvre. Can I offer you a bit of wine? Can I offer you this? Can I offer you this? This is what the Holy Spirit wants to offer you this morning. Ho, everyone who is thirsty. Believe me, that's everyone actually. Come. To the waters. And you who have no money. It's good news for those of us who are skint. Those of you who have no money, come, buy, eat, drink, be satisfied. Wine and milk and corn, it actually also suggests. You can be satisfied from God free of charge because it's all been bought. But you have to come. Yes? And you have to buy it. You say, how can you buy it when you haven't got any money? That doesn't make any sense. Actually, it does make sense because if I own a restaurant and you're sat outside that restaurant on the floor, starving to death, and I put some posters up in the restaurant, All the menu is free. Some rich person has paid for it all. It's all free. Come, buy, eat, drink. Then, honestly, that's up to you. First of all, you have to hear it. Oh, you have to listen. You have to listen because faith comes by hearing. And as you begin to hear God speaking to you, oh, maybe I can be forgiven. Maybe my family can get sorted out. Maybe my kids can get straightened out. Maybe my marriage can be better. Maybe my, as you begin to hear other people's testimonies and stories and good news, as you begin to hear God speak to you from the Bible, Keane is in that situation trying to get this PhD finished and all these, this board of people sort of against her. She can live on one level of total fear and anxiety and be wiped out for weeks and come through it battered. Or she can live at a totally different level and trust God and pray and give it all to God and watch God take the mouths of lions and shut them. And she can stroke them and pat them and have authority over them and leave. And they can be lions again. They're welcome then. But she has something else. So do you. You're outside the restaurant. You're starving to death. What do you need today? I tell you, everything you need, everything is in Jesus Christ. He's paid for it for you. And all you have to do is come to the waters and eat and drink. You come and you buy. How do you do that? Well, let me tell you how you do it. You act as though you've got money. That's what you do. That's faith. You get off your backside and you walk in. You might look a little bit scruffy. It doesn't matter. Everyone's welcome in this restaurant. It's Jesus' restaurant. You walk in and you pull up a chair and the waiter comes up to you and says, "Can I help you, sir? Can I help you, madam?" And you say, "I'd like to see the menu, please." And you get the menu. And you get specific. Is this how you buy something? This is how you buy something. He says, he doesn't just say, "Oh, Jesus did it all on the cross. So you're all going to heaven anyway. The world's saved." It isn't. He didn't say, "Oh, Jesus died on the cross. God loves you. Everything will come, just fall into your lap. Peace and joy and victory over sin and freedom and deliverance from your anxieties and your problems. All that will go," and he'll just, no, he doesn't. He says, "Oh, the restaurant's open. Ding, 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 ding. Come and get it. Come and get it. Come and get it." In our house, there's that many people, or there used to be. And, you know, we used to have tea and used to, "Come and get tea," you know, and they'd all be playing games or watching, "Come and get tea." But I tell you something, that proves they're not very hungry. If you're really hungry and you really need some food, you'll hear someone shout and you'll come. And if you know you need God today, which I hope, if you're thirsty, anyone thirsty? If you're thirsty for God, you will be satisfied if you come and buy. You come and buy by being specific. What is it specifically that you need? And then you have to communicate, don't you? To buy something, to walk in the shop and just take it is stealing. To buy it, you talk to someone. You say, "I'll have this, please. Can I have one of them, please?" If you're back in the menu image, you know, pick what you want. What do you want? What do you need for the menu? Be specific. I'll have this. Two of them, please. Well, drink some of that and five of them. Thanks. You haven't got any money. That's okay. It's not going to cost you anything. That's fine. That's the deal. That's the deal. Jesus has paid for you to be healed, blessed, at peace with God, forgiven for your sins, mentally alive, happy. That's what the word blessed means. Anyone want a happy life? Everyone wants a happy life. Well, you need milk. Milk's for happiness. Or wine. Wine's for joy. You need to get this from God. And you get specific with the menu. That's what you do. And you talk to the person who's offering you it. That's called prayer and faith. That's how you get anything from God. And I assure you, without those two, no one's getting anything. Although it's all there. You can starve to death outside that restaurant when it's all being paid for. Or you can stop being lazy, give up your unbelief, and get in on the action that is being paid for you. Did you enjoy Ruth preaching last week? Wasn't she awesome, anointed, and so clear? I absolutely loved that prophetic challenge to us. What a challenge that is to us, to go the fast route of faith. The fast route of faith instead of the way round of unbelief. That's got to be the way for us as a church. That's got to be the way for you and me right now. You can either spend your life in unbelief, doubting and going round, sorting it out yourself, checking it out yourself, or you can go through the battle of faith that Keena's going through. That's the only battle worth fighting, and get the results by faith. You need to be specific in your prayers and specific about what you want from God. Don't ask him to generally bless you. Tell him what it is. That's real prayer. When our Anna was two and a half, we were looking through some photographs with her, and she saw a photograph of herself. And on this photograph, she had a watch, a little red Timex watch, red strap, with a little blue face, little kiddie's watch. And she said, "Where's that watch, Mummy?" And Margaret said, "Oh, that wasn't your watch, Anna. That was your cousin's watch. You were just borrowing it that day." And Anna said, "I like that watch. I want that watch." So it's good to encourage your kids to pray, isn't it? It is. Oh, there's two ways to do everything. You can say, "Okay, honey, I'll get you the watch." Nothing wrong with that. But it's not the supernatural life we're trying to teach our kids. So Margaret said to her, "Well, why don't you ask Jesus?" She's 2 and a half. "Ask Jesus for a watch. You'd like that watch. You ask Jesus for that watch." Next day, Margaret's sister rings. The next day. Little kid asks Jesus, just believes like a little kid, asks Jesus for a watch. Catherine rings Margaret. She said, "I've got a watch for one of the girls." Margaret said, "Yeah, how come?" She said, "I went to work today." She worked in a wedding shop downtown, Prenuptial it was called then. She said, "The manager of the shop, she bought this watch for a grandchild, and she's already got one. She likes the one she's got better, so she gave it to me." She said, "There you are, Catherine. One of your nieces might like it." So she gave the watch to Margaret. It was the same watch. Blue face, Timex, red strap. Is God awesome? He's also a very specific God. Specific. Oh, that didn't work. Anyway. He's specific. Don't treat him like he's a machine. He's more a person than you are. All right. Don't treat him like he's silly. If you seek God earnestly, you will be rewarded by finding God. The Bible says that faith is this. Faith starts with this. That if you believe he exists, without faith, it says, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. You can sing all the songs, come to church, do what you like. Without faith, you can't please him. Because you can't live with him in the kingdom of God, which is all faith. But with faith, this is how it starts. You believe that he exists. And you earnestly seek him, then you'll be rewarded. Earnestly seek him. Now, you can say that to the person next to you. Say earnestly. My middle name is Ernest. Confession time. My dad's name is Ernest. His dad's name was Ernest. I come from a long line of Ernests. And let me tell you the importance of being Ernest. Ba-boom. The importance of being Ernest is actually very real when it comes to seeking God. Those who earnestly seek God find him and are rewarded. Earnest means to be serious, to be real. You're not playing at it. You're not joking. You don't not care. You actually care. Earnestly, I seek you. Earnestly, I need this. Earnestly, I ask you for this. You seriously seek God. That can be the simple faith of a little girl, 2 and a half year old, or you right now. You're more complicated than 2 and a half year old. That's okay. God doesn't mind. Just be earnest. Be earnest in seeking God and asking him to meet your need, and that is how you receive. By faith and prayer, you speak to the person in the restaurant, you're specific, and then he says to you, "Thank you, sir, I've received your order. We'll do go and sort it out." Now it's the waiting game. Now it's the faith development time. many, many people get up from their seat and leave the restaurant at this point. Millions of Christians do this and do not receive the fulfillment of their vision, of their dream, of what God has said to them, because they cannot believe God for it. They can't wait. The waiting game is hard work. Pregnant mothers, you know this. When you're in labor, midwives call that little pause in between the waves of labor. The waves help you get the baby out. The contractions, though they hurt, they're helping. They're helping the baby out. They're helping you. But there's a lull in between. And then just before the final wave, there's a real lull. The waiting game. I've heard many a midwife say that. And it's not a very nice time, because it's life or death. It's serious. Birth is really serious. That vision, listen to me, spiritually I'm speaking now, that vision is either going to be born or it isn't. Your dream, what God has called you to do, is either going to be achieved or it isn't. On this crucial factor, faith. When they go to cook the meal, there's no food in front of you. It goes quiet. You're still hungry. You can keep looking. I would recommend this. I would recommend you get that menu out and you look at it and start to imagine what that food's like. You start to taste those spring rolls in your head before they've arrived. This is how to develop faith, it is. You begin to enjoy those spring rolls. You imagine that juicy steak going in. First forkful in. God's given you an imagination that's connected to your soul and spirit. Actually, your imagination is your soul and spirit, actually. That is your spirit and soul. And that's what needs to be developed with faith. You have to be able to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can be as religious as you want, Nicodemus, but until you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God that's all around you. You can't see it. But when you're born again, you begin to see it. Brothers and sisters, see it? Use the eyes of your heart to see the vision and the dream that God's put in your heart. If it is from God, then see it. If it's just from you, forget it. You hear a load of garbage, don't you, about visions and dreams? Like, you can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. All right, I'll be a marathon runner. I'll start tomorrow. No, I can't. I can't be whatever. It's all within you. No, they're just human dreams. They won't help you. What's your passion? Who cares what your passion is? With all due respect, stuff your passion. I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul's passion was. The Apostle Paul's passion was killing Christians. That's what his passion was, to be super religious Jewish. God didn't appear to the Apostle Paul and say, Paul, I want to help you fulfill your dreams, man. What's your passion, bro? He's not in the slightest bit interested. He says, I have a plan for your life, mate. And at the end of his life, having lived a wonderful life, ready to go to heaven, full of joy and glory, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Heavenly vision. That's what you need. You need heavenly vision. How do you get it? You pray. You worship. You got to pray. You got to go to God yourself and say, don't say, God, this is what I'd like to do with my life. Go to God and say, God, now this is earnest, you see. This is serious. This is real with God. This is when God gets real with you. God, what do you want me to do with my life? I give my life to you. Jesus gave his life for me. I give these years and days that I've got left to you. What do you want me to do? I'll do anything you want me to do. I'm scared. I'm weak. I'm sinful. But if you tell me what to do, I will follow you and do it with the strength that you provide. Or, listen, you pray a prayer like that today and you are going to be in the game, I'm telling you. Because God, he's looking for people whose hearts are fully committed to him. God's looking to raise up an army. That's what I was singing today, weren't you? We will rise. We will rise. Like those dead bones in that valley, the church in the UK will rise. And those who hear the clattering and the sound being drawn together by the Holy Spirit will rise, a mighty army. You can be part of it. You can lead part of it. If you want. If he wants. If you leave that restaurant too quick, you've missed the fulfillment of faith. And listen, we all leave the restaurant. We all struggle there. The whole point of developing the faith muscle is struggling at that point. It hurts, it's scary, it's dark, it's quiet. They've gone, have they been gone a long time? Do you think they've forgot us? Do you think they've served everybody else? Everybody else has got what they're asking for. No one's given me what they're asking for. Have you ever felt like that? Everyone else gets their prayers answered. Everyone else is eating. I'm not eating. Have they forgot us? Did I imagine that? A waiter came up here. That massive encounter I had with God where I prayed and believed. Was that in my head or what? Or did I? It's terrible. I've been in this 30 years and I hate it. Doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any harder either, to be honest. It's just exactly the same. It sucks at this point. It's just pain. You know, Margaret says, every time she had a baby, I mean, 9 babies. Round of applause. No, Monica. Listen, the thing is, every time you have a baby, she was saying to someone, the other day, this woman at school just had 5 babies. She said, and she said, oh, how was it? She said, hard. She said, was it hard? She said, yeah. And Margaret said, you forget, don't you? She said, yeah, you forget. You forget how hard it is till you're in labour, then it's too late. You forget. The thought, oh, let's have a baby, sounds awesome. But there's an agonising bit to bring it to birth. Exactly the same with vision and dreams and the will of God in your life. Exactly. Over every little vision, or every big vision, over your ultra life vision. It's all exactly the same. And there's this terrible bit where it just hurts and you faith, really the rubber is hitting the road because it's all gone quiet and dark and it looks like they switched the lights off and left the kitchen and gone home for the night. That's what it looks like. Don't worry. God's cooking up something pretty awesome for you. But you must wait and let faith develop. And imagine that dish. It says while Abraham was waiting all those years for that son, all those years he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. That's what you do at the table. Listen, it doesn't totally take away, but if you want a bit of gas and air, this is it. Thank you, Jesus, that you've heard my prayer. Thank you that faith is not a feeling. It's a fact. And I'm determined to trust you over this vision that you've given me. You will fulfill it. Thank you, Lord. Let me just look at the menu again. Yes, Lord, ask for this. Remember, ask for that. Remember, really remind yourself. You're helping yourself here. You're praising God. You're growing strong in your faith as you give glory to God. That's how you wait. That's the best way to wait. There are different ways of waiting. I've done them all. But the best way to wait is to praise and thank God and keep your spirit buoyant while you wait. And try and imagine that dish in front of you. Imagine what life's going to be like. And then act like it's happening. Act it out, if that helps you. That's what the prophets did. Many people, they act. They take actions of faith that coincide with what they believe. And guess what happened when? What happens when those two come together? Bang! That's when a miracle happens. A man's daughter was dying. Absolutely on the brink of death. And they come to Jesus and he says, Jesus, please come and heal my daughter. I've seen you healing people. I've heard you healing people. Please heal my daughter. He has a measure of faith. Measure of faith. Of course, that faith ends at the great line of death. It ends there. So he gets him. Jesus says, yes, I'll come. I'll come right now to your house. A woman touches him. And he says, oh, bless you, daughter. Your faith's made you well. He's a little bit sort of distracted with good things. And he's on the way to the house. And then the servants meet them and say, oh, she's died. Oh, the honor of death. Jesus absolutely ignores them. And he turns to the man and says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Walk straight through that barrier and acts in line with the faith in God that he has. And does more actions. You lot, get out. You come and stay here. Speaks to the girl. Wake up. She wakes up. She's alive. She's raised from the dead. That's how miracles happen. All miracles happen like that. That's how we got our extension of our house. I'll tell you this story because it's a good story for this. And I don't want you to listen about me. It's not about me or Margaret. It's about you, this, and God, right? Listen to the elements that make it work and see miracles happen. We had a big family. We still have 7 kids in the house with us. 7. So we needed to move. We were looking at other houses. But Margaret, you know what? I was away somewhere in India or Kazakhstan or somewhere for a few weeks. And Margaret was praying. Everything starts with praying. Oh, God, you're Christians, aren't you? Anyone Christian in here? You don't move house without praying, do you? I mean, please tell me you don't. God help you if you live like that. But anyway, I presume you're not, you don't. And you're making a big decision in your life, like you're moving house. So you're praying together. God, show us where you want us to be. Show us where you want us to be. Sure. Margaret has no peace in her heart. She doesn't really want to move house. She likes our house for some reason. Anyway, and she says, she starts having a vision and a dream then. As she's praying, she starts saying, well, she starts having a God idea. Should we extend the house then? Have to be a pretty big extension. Let me draw it. She gets a bit of paper and draws this massive extension. It's like almost like another house on the house. At an angle, Nick in the garage and the drive and most of the back garden. 2 stories, a big extension. She draws it. I'll have a utility room here, massive kitchen, toilet downstairs. She draws it all, draws it. And then I come home and I say, yeah, whatever. Okay. Well, if we can do that, if the letters do that, let's do that then. And so we apply. And obviously, the council, you know, we're living at this level as well, aren't we? The human level of life. And at that level, this is never, ever, ever going to happen. Why? Because it's vast. This extension is massive. I mean, not only have you got to be okay with the neighbours who are blocking out all sunlight for the rest of their life. No, it's not. But it's just massive. It's too big. And they said, look, it's too big, but and it's almost certainly a no. But if you want to, we can come and look at it. Look at the map out of it in the land and things. And then finally decide. And we were praying. Said, yeah, do that. And, you know, there was a no coming. There's an impossibility at a human level here. It's not going to happen at a human level. So we were praying. And I was imagining. I was going onto the drive and frying my invisible eggs on my invisible cooker right where I fry real eggs today. On our real cooker today. Exactly where we wanted it. But right now, I just look an idiot. Margaret's having a laugh. We're having a laugh about it. What are you doing? I'm just frying some eggs. Frying some eggs in my invisible cooker. Frying some eggs. I'm just walking around here. I'm going in the bathroom. I'm going in the kitchen. I'm going to make a cup of tea. I'm in the garden right now. And I'm on the drive. The neighbors already think we're loonies, but this just totally confirms it. Frying eggs when there's nothing to fry. Or is there? And the council said to us, it's almost certainly a no. We'll come out and have a look at it. But if you really want to appeal about it, you can appeal in writing. Make your appeal to Bristol. Now, here's just the workings of God. I'm just telling you the truth. This is what happens. We were away when they came. We were at a conference, a leadership conference, Christian conference, in Bristol. I mean, that's just God's sense of humor, I think. I don't know. But anyway, we were in Bristol at this conference. Before we went, Margaret said, don't forget, we've got to drop the key off at your dad's house so that our dad can come. You all know our dad. Most of you know our dad. Can open the door and let the council in so that this, you know, there's 12 councillors coming to the house to walk around the garden and stake it out and all that and decide. We drove to Bristol and totally forgot to leave the key at my dad's house. But this is the workings of God, you see. Even your blunders end up used by God when you pray and believe. And the only other person with a key was Margaret's sister, Teresa, who was a Christian, but backslidden, to be honest. And we rang her up on the way down and said, "Teresa, sorry, we forgot to drop the key off at Martin's dad's. Could you go and open up the house for them, for these councillors to come and look, to decide about the extension?" She said, "Yeah, I'll do it, no problem." We went down to Bristol, got in the conference, and then Teresa went and opened the door for these 12 people who trooped in. She was with them and sort of near them and heard them saying, "No chance, absolutely no. Look at this, oh, no way, no way." And as they were walking out, one of them said, "It's Teresa, isn't it?" The last guy walking out, there came on a minibus, 12 of them. She said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't you remember me, Mr. McPartland? I used to teach you. I worked in your school. Is it?" And Teresa, "He was a nice teacher." He said, she said, "Oh, this is Margaret's house. You know Margaret? Oh, I know. Nice girl, Margaret. Yeah, this is her house. She's got 7 kids now. 7! Amazing. Yeah, this is their house. They want this extension." And he sort of paused and it sank a little bit. And he said, "Can you come down to this meeting now at the council office?" She said, "Not easily. Should I?" He said, "Yeah, come down because it'll help. I mean, it's almost certainly a no, but if you're there, there might be a possibility of something, but come and speak for them." She said, "All right then." So she rang us. She ran home, put some posh clothes on. She rang us. We were in Bristol. And she said, "Pray now, because I'm going to speak to the council about your extension." She's backslidden. We leave the meeting. Sometimes meetings are irrelevant. Never worry about leaving them. We left the meeting and went to our hotel room, got on our knees, and made our appeal at Bristol. Made our appeal to the only person who can give you anything you need. God Almighty, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You got on our knees. "Father in heaven, help Teresa. Please, Holy Spirit, speak through her. Do a miracle. Turn the tide. They're all saying no. Make them say yes." We're praying and praying and praying and praying, because that's what you do. Earnestly seek God. And then she walks in the council office, and they're looking through different things. She's sat there a bit bored, and they look through. "Yes, yes. Oh, 16 Glazedale. Yeah, it was a unanimous no on that, wasn't it?" And we went down to look at it, and they all agree, total no. Total no. And then this guy looks up and said, "Oh, have you come for this one? Is there anything you want to say?" And she stood up and she said she felt fire fill her belly. And she opened her mouth and just preached to them for about 5 minutes and said, "My sister and her husband live in this house. They're Christians and they love God and they bring light to this area and this town. And they're beautiful people and all the neighbors love them. And they bring goodness to this. And if they leave, the whole place is going to be dark and everyone's going to be sad." And she went quiet. And they're all looking at her. And this one old lady, not even the teacher, said, "I propose a revote." And the teacher said, "I second it." And they said, "Okay. Revote. Unanimous yes. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm frying my eggs. I'm a real cooker with my real eggs." Do you think God's got some real eggs for you? I tell you, he has. Seriously now, he actually has. He's got real property, jobs, relationships, marriages, children. He's got everything you ever need. And let me, before we pray for you, because I'd like you to come to the front, we'd like to pray for you. If you'd like prayer, you can come to the waters today and receive. Let me just tell you two waters that are definitely, definitely on offer for you. Wine and milk. Milk is comfort. Milk is for comfort, isn't it? Do you want water or milk? Milk to a little child is comfort. Milk from a mother's breast for a baby is ultra comfort. Ultra comfort. That's what the Holy Spirit has for you. He wants to love you and feed your heart with his love. Do you believe he can satisfy your heart with his love? Listen, if you don't get that milk, let me tell you what you'll do all your life. is you look for that milk in the salty waters of this world. You look for that comfort and love from people who can never give you it, from holidays that can never satisfy. Why do you spend your labor on what doesn't satisfy? God says, come to me, it's all free, and drink, and be satisfied, and be blessed. Have the comfort you need, have the love you need. Everyone needs love. The Beatles said it must be true. God is love. We long for love. If you don't get love from Almighty God, I'm telling you, it's going to put a mighty strain on your marriage, because you never get it all from there. Never. No matter how awesome she is. Awesome he is. Never. Because only God can satisfy the human soul. Only God. And he's here wanting to satisfy you. Will you come to him? Every day? Come to him. The waters are flowing. They flowed out of Jesus' side on the cross. John, who was at the cross, said that when Jesus had died and gave up his spirit, he'd already done it. He'd won. He'd won. When Jesus said, it is paid for, he died. And then a soldier came with a lance and pierced his heart. And out of Jesus' heart flowed the mighty waterfall of God. Living waters and blood for our sins. That river is still flowing, brothers and sisters. Higher than the Angel Falls. More dramatic than Niagara Falls. More powerful than Victoria Falls. Is Jesus' waterfall. Flowing from his heart. Flowing through this sad, sick world. Get in on it. Jump into these waters. If you drink seawater, you'll die. Seawater is very bad for you. People who've been on rafts and things can't resist, because you can see through it. It looks very clear sometimes, seawater, and it's cool and it's liquid, and but it's poisonous to human beings. It's full of death, actually. Millions of things die in there and rot. And there's all sorts of bacteria that are feeding off that death. And it's very bad for human beings to drink. And if you drink seawater, you will die. Listen, if you try and get your joy and comfort and life from this world, you will die of thirst. But if you come to Jesus, he said, I promise you, you will never thirst again. Wow. What a promise. Is he right or wrong? He's right. He says, if you come to him, brothers and sisters, come every day. There's no charge. Get in that restaurant every day. Get specific. Get eating and drinking. Maybe you need wine. Wine is for joy, isn't it? Wine is for joy. The Bible says God has given wine to make man's heart glad. Woohoo! And oil to make his face shine. Too much wine makes you ill. A little bit of wine makes you real happy. It puts a smile on your face and relaxes you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is wine. He said it's new wine. Listen, God has new wine. He's pouring it out right now. Something's happening right now, brothers and sisters, amongst us in the church. Here it comes. Get in on it early. Drink new wine and milk. Comfort and joy. Oh, bit of joy from Jesus. You don't even need to go to the off license. You can come to Jesus' restaurant every day and get joy for our depression and our sorrow and our sadness and our hurts and our heaviness. Joy! It's free from Jesus. He bought it for you. Don't live sad and depressed. Get off that pavement and come to the waters. Oh, if anyone thirsts, come, buy wine and milk without cost, without money, and be satisfied and be happy. Let's stand. Holy Spirit is here, the mighty river of God, crystal clear, perfect, perfect. Just hold out your hands right now to receive from the Holy Spirit. If you need to go and get your kids, just believe now that when I pray, you're going to receive it right now. Don't worry. You trust. Faith. Walking at the kids with a smile on your face in faith that you've received. if you don't need to get your kids, come down here. And let us lay hands on you and pray for you for more. Father in heaven, thank you that Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We love you. We need you. Lord, we come right now for a mighty drink of joy, for new wine, for milk, for love, for life. We come to you now. We want to receive from you. We want to have intimacy with you so that out of that intimacy can come visions and dreams, your visions and your dreams for our life. Not our own ideas, not half-cocked plans, but the actual plan of God for me. That's what I want, Lord. That's what we need, Lord. Now bring that intimacy now, Holy Spirit, to every thirsty heart. Drink, brothers and sisters, drink. He is pouring upon you right now. Drink his comfort, his love. Drink his wine. And rejoice, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Give someone a hug, you can go and get your kids or you can come down the front. Really want you to come down the front if you can, if you want to receive more.